This is the State of Things. I'm Frank Stachow. Every day, workers around the globe are being replaced or having their jobs reduced. I mean, you think of factory workers replaced by robots or telephone operators who have lost their jobs to voice-operated phone systems. Bank tellers replaced by ATMs. Happens everywhere. In Cairo, Egypt, thousands of muezzins, the men who call Muslims to prayer from the minaret of a mosque, are being replaced by a single voice broadcast from a radio station to wireless receivers. What was the sound of many voices may soon become one. Filmmaker Anna Kippervasser has documented this moment of change in Cairo. Her film, Cairo in One Breath, will screen at the Full Frame Documentary Film Festival tomorrow at 1, but she joins us for a preview. Hello, Anna. Good to have you here.
Thank you so much.
Tell us about this. First of all, I guess we should talk about the Adhan Unification Project. The Adhan is the prayer, mm-hmm. right?
Well, it's the call to prayer.
The call to prayer that many of us who have traveled are quite familiar with. And if you've been in a city where there is a Muslim population, there are many, many, many calls, and they come sometimes at different times of the day. So what happened in Egypt?
Well, so the call to prayer happens 5 times a day, and it's supposed to happen at a specific time. However, my watch may be different than your watch, and maybe a couple seconds off. However, sometimes maybe a couple minutes off. And in Cairo, a city of 20 million plus residents, there are only 4,000 officially recognized mosques, however, 30,000 other unofficial mosques, which aren't recognized by the government but exist. And each mosque has an individual muezzin, at least one, one per call, but at least one for the mosque itself. And so each muezzin does the call to prayer at the specific time, which ends up being a couple seconds off from one another. So you get a cacophony or a harmony or both every day, 5 times. So what happened in Cairo was the government, the Mubarak regime, actually, in 2006 proposed a unification plan, as in to standardize the call to prayer by replacing all of these 30,000 individual voices with one voice broadcast from the radio, which is exactly what you just spoke of. And it wouldn't be recorded. It would be live, kind of like we are now. And a muezzin would project his voice through wireless receivers to all of the mosques using the same PA systems as they have been using for the last 30-plus years. However, and as you said, the minaret had been used by muezzinin for hundreds of years. However, now, in the last 30, 40, 50 years, folks started to use a microphone and PA systems and speakers, as we've all experienced, on mosques. So that was the goal to replace them happened because the government claimed that it was because of noise pollution and because a lot of people had mosques next door to their homes. And so the speakers were too loud for a lot of the residents.
And this happened in the Mubarak. So what kind of pushback was it? Was there a fair amount of resistance then to this idea?
Well, the plan was proposed in 2006. And from all of my research, it seems that this was not the first time the plan was proposed. But it was put into action, actually, in 2010. And muezzins didn't find out that this was happening and that they were going to be replaced until it began, until engineers showed up in their mosques with the receivers. So there was pushback kind of immediately. And even though there was a little bit of news coverage on the topic, it really didn't spread to the community as much. And a lot of, there was support. It's as varied as anything else in any place in the world. The response was, I can't say that it was largely oppositional or that it was largely in support of.
Well, and that's it. I mean, that sound is either charming or annoying or both or neither, depending on what day it is and who happens to be in the minaret. Here's a sample of some of the opinion you got.
Muhammad, the prophet, he would choose the best voice for the azan. Now you hear some azan very not nice. And also the imam, when he says the Quran, you need nice voice,
there is certain beauty in chaos. And that's exactly the case. What's happening right now is absolute chaos. Me as a musician, I can hear how anyone can be a muaddin, anyone can actually hold a microphone and start calling for a prayer. Of course, sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad, sometimes it's catastrophic. Yet when you hear them together and you hear all this, you know, chaos, everybody is doing it at the same time, different tonalities, different textures of sound, there is something about it. There certainly is something about it.
A clip from my guest Anna Kippervasser's film Cairo in One Breath. The film will screen tomorrow at the Full Frame Documentary Film Festival. That's at 1 o'clock in Durham. So you've got this, you know, breadth of opinion. It's either beautiful, it's wonderful, it's a kind of divine chaos, or it's really annoying. And I guess if you've got the house next to the mosque, it's still going to be loud. It just might be a little better quality than it used to be, depending on your opinion.
Well, two things. As a good friend and colleague once said, not all things are equal in this world. And, you know, whether it's better quality or not is questionable. Right. I mean, even, you know, out of the 4,000 officially recognized mosques, only 730 muezzins are actually paid by the Ministry of Religious Endowments, as in they are chosen specifically through competitions of thousands and thousands of individuals, chosen for their voice, for their enunciation, for their knowledge of the Quran, chosen for a variety of reasons. So let's say your house is next to the mosque and the speaker is right next to your window. No matter how beautiful the voice is, if the PA system continues to be the one that's been in place for 30 years and the speaker is turned up a little too loud, you're going to suffer, whether you're religious or not. Yeah. But this, you know, as far as I'm concerned, my opinion is if we are going to make decisions based on people being annoyed or not annoyed, I think it's kind of foolish. I also don't think that this was necessarily the only goal of the Ministry of Religious Endowments and the Mubarak regime or the current Sisi regime, because the project is, you know, currently on hold, but they are hoping to continue working on the unification.
Well, what would be the political value of this? I don't even see it.
Well, you know, if we are the Ministry of Religious Endowments, for example, and we have friends working in the army or in the engineering ministry, there could be some...
Yeah, but there's only one. You get it down to one. You got all these guys with jobs, which is what you want to give out as patronage. If you're a particularly totalitarian regime, you just give out jobs. Now you've got fewer of them. And which also leads to the second question, was there a contest? Like, who is the voice here?
Oh, there was. And this is talked about in the film. And actually, the clip that was played at the top of the hour features Sheikh Mohammed Al-Maregi, who is one of the voices from the radio station. He's one of the muezzinin chosen. And only 24 muezzins were chosen in the end out of thousands of applicants. And there were multiple sections to the competition. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you end up making a lot of people unhappy, so I'm still trying to figure out what the political value is. But also, on the other side of it, many of them, as you say, were volunteers, and a number of them who spoke with you spoke about losing their opportunity to serve their community, I guess.
Yeah, on top of serving their community and on top of the local community recognizing certain voices and feeling at ease by hearing someone's voice who they love or a friend or a colleague, on top of that, being a muezzin earns you a place in heaven. And after 7 years of being a muezzin, it is believed that you will have the longest neck on Judgment Day, as in God will recognize you. And so there is a lot of reasons, thawab it's called. There's a lot of reason to be a muezzin.
Yeah, and it's fascinating. But then also in terms of the overall sound and whether or not it's pleasant or not, I mean, you talked about talk to some people who recognize this sound as the kind of thing that can give any city its unique character. Let's listen.
So you couldn't walk through Cairo and ignore the auditory experience you were having. And so sound really is being used in Cairo in its sort of evolutionary historical meaning where you just don't get the choice of whether you're in it or not. You are in it, and your brain can't get you out of it.
Subconsciously, it kind of affects people, even if you don't really realize it. You have this, for instance, different soundscapes in cities, where you really have, for instance, a Chinese neighborhood, or you have an English neighborhood or something. You really can listen to that and understand that there's different soundscapes. And it's also important because people feel themselves also belonging to certain soundscapes. So it also makes actually the identity of a certain place.
That's a clip from my guest, Anna Kippervasser's film, Cairo in One Breath, that's going to screen tomorrow at the Full Frame Documentary Film Festival in Durham. What's the status of the project now?
Well, this is going to be the world premiere for the film.
Mm-hmm.
As far as the status of the Adan Unification Project, well, the deputy minister who is featured in our film, Salim Abdelgalil, actually is no longer with the Ministry of Religious Endowments. And with Sisi's regime, they recently put out a press release saying that the Unification Project is on hold because they have other things to deal with at the moment, including, gas subsidies and food subsidies and everything else.
Yeah, there's
actually
a few public policy issues in Egypt right now. Yeah.
But they're intending to continue working on it. However, only several hundreds of mosques have had the receivers installed. Throughout the course of the last couple of years, maintenance hasn't been perfectly upheld. So not all of the receivers that have been installed continue to work. And some folks have taken matters into their own hands. And the film covers this a lot. Though we've been talking about, what's the point of this politically? There's controversy around the call to prayer because it's public.
Mm-hmm.
And there was controversy here in Durham at Duke around the call to prayer because it's public. I mean, these are religious and public and political issues.
Well, as the last voice we heard from your film points out, you can't really get away from it. So you are reminded that we sanction this, we approve this as the government, and in a place where you hear that call to prayer, you know you're in a Muslim country. So that is somewhat controversial, particularly if you're trying to stake out new territory for yourselves, a new reputation as a multicultural. Was that ever part of the discussion in Cairo?
No. Definitely not. Yeah. I mean, as much as everybody wants, every country, every community wants to welcome all people, Egypt is a Muslim country. It's a Muslim majority country. It's not a Muslim country. There are Christians, there are Jews, there are Buddhists, there are atheists, but it is part of the soundscape. And I think the voice from the film that we just heard points out that you can't get away from it. What he's really referring to is we can't turn off our ears. When we go to sleep, we close our eyes. We do not close our ears. So no matter what the sounds of the city are, whether it's fire trucks, whether it's muezzins.
Are you aware of any other cities or countries where this kind of project has been undertaken?
Yes. I've heard that there are places in Yemen where a type of unification has occurred. And when I was in Turkey, in Istanbul, this has happened, at least in 2010. There was a recording that I could hear from multiple mosques, as in it was the same voice. And then there are some mosques that I could hear individuals, different voices. Upon doing a little bit of research, I found out it was a recording. And then there's talks about Jordan having undergone something similar. But again, not all places in Jordan.
How much of this was to try to get it on the exact time so that all of the prayer was being called at precisely the same time?
Of course, the Ministry of Religious Endowments said that this was one of the reasons. This noise pollution and, again, like what we've been saying, trying to get the nice voices. But, it is said that the Prophet Muhammad had said that the first muezzin, Bilal, he had a beautiful voice, but he wasn't capable of pronouncing the letter sheen. And so the Prophet Muhammad used to say that the sheen of Bilal is the sheen in the ears of Allah. So there is a lot of understanding in the religion and in the community that although I may not have as beautiful of a voice as yourself, for example, it is still our right to hear one another.
So what got you interested in this project?
It was happenstance, like all things in my life. I happened to be in the Middle East, and after traveling through Israel, Palestine, Jordan, and Sinai, which is part of Egypt currently, but it's a contested territory, so I say it as a separate country, I ended up in Cairo. And the way that I heard the call to prayer in Cairo was unlike anywhere else. I mean, partially because the city is so huge and because there are so many mosques. It felt like an amazing blanket of sound that hushed all other noises of the city. And then after being there, you know, for 3 weeks, having heard the call to prayer 5 times every day, mm-hmm. I also ended up at a mosque, which, as I later found out, happened to be the oldest mosque in Egypt and the first mosque built in all of Africa, mm-hmm. called Amr ibn al-As. And I stayed there for the call to prayer. And I was so moved by the sound of the voice of the muezzin. And, you know, I left before prayer began out of respect. And upon returning to Chicago several weeks later, where I was living, I tried to do a little bit of research to find the recording of this particular muezzin, or at least to find out his name. And I found out that there had been nothing done of the sort, no documentation whatsoever of individuals other than, you know, YouTube videos yeah. or, you know, tourists right, recording right. on their phones. And so I thought it was my duty to document them. And in my research and attempting to apply for grants, I found out about the unification plan. And then I was, you know, quickened. And slowly but surely, I had not made a film before. And slowly but surely, the project became bigger and bigger. And a friend of mine said, well, what is the goal, Anna? The goal is to reach more people. And he said, make a film. Let's do it. Let's get a team together.
You did it. And it's a fine story. And I want to thank you for sharing it with us. Thanks so much for being
on
the program.
Thank you.
Filmmaker Anna Kippervasser, her documentary Cairo in One Breath screens tomorrow at the Full Frame Festival, 1 o'clock in Durham. That's our program. You can find out more at our website, stateofthings.org, a program produced by Laura Lee, Anita Rao, Hadi Mawagdi, and Will Michaels. Robin Copley is our technical director. Jess Clark, the intern. Brent Wolf is WUNC's news director. North Carolina Public Radio is a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stachow.